We're ready? Well, morning, everyone. Good to see you. Happy Easter, everyone.
Happy Easter.
Good to see you all. Welcome. Special welcome if you're visiting family because it's Easter and you're here. We love having you here. If you're here for the first time, some of you are, you're very welcome. And it's great to be able to worship together on this special celebration where we remember the resurrection of Jesus and the fact that he's alive and with us today. Amen. Thank you. Just to say, notices wise, there is Let's Do Lunch this week on Wednesday. What time is that, Mark?
12 o'clock.
Next door in the lounge there. Everyone's welcome. Please do invite friends, neighbours for a lovely hot meal on Wednesday at 12 o'clock. It's Bank Holiday Monday tomorrow, so there won't be coffee stop or the usual prayer meeting tomorrow. Just to say that the office is not open for business this week. It's holidays, so please don't ring the office this week because you won't get an answer. That's really all I've got to say on that. Because it's Easter, we're going to use an ancient call and response prayer that the church have been using for centuries. So if we could stick that up on the screen. My bit's leader and your bit is the response, I think. So here it is. Yeah, there it is. So if you're able to stand, please stand. If not, just do it sitting. So let's have this is a celebration, so we want to really raise the roof here. So Christ is risen.
Hallelujah.
The Lord is risen.
He is risen indeed.
I think we can do better than that. It's still early, isn't it? We're still waking up. Christ is risen.
Hallelujah.
The Lord is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Amen. And please be seated. Before we get to singing, we've got just to set the scene for this morning. We remember that we're here because of Christ. We're here because of his resurrection. And the first reading, which Callum's going to come and read, is from John's Gospel, chapter 20. Thanks, Callum.
Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes.
Let's pray, and then we'll sing. Lord Jesus, thank you for that wonderful account of the resurrection story. Thank you that the tomb is empty, that the grave clothes are folded. Thank you, Jesus, that you're alive, you are risen, and you're in heaven, and you're with us now through the person of your Holy Spirit. Be in our celebration, be in our praises. May there be joy in this place today, because Jesus, you are risen and you are here. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Let's stand to sing.
So before we actually sing, keep standing. Come on, keep coming. Yes, stand up. We've got three songs we're going to be doing. We're using some backing as well with it. But the second song is maybe new to a few of you, and it's called Praise. But there is some call and response. Now, you've already done a bit of call and response, so you're already good at it. So in this one, we've got a bit that goes, we go, let everything.
Let everything.
That has breath.
That has breath.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
So we've got that coming in there. So hopefully you'll be a good voice when we get there. Can we get the words up, please, Quentin? Right. Let's worship our God together. Just check him.
Day in history, death is beaten, you have rescued me. Sing it out, Jesus is alive. The empty cross, the empty grave, life eternal, you have won the day. Celebrate, Jesus is alive.
He's alive.
As long as I'm breathing, I got a reason to pray. praise when I don't. I praise cause I know you're still in control. My praise is a weapon, it's more than a sound. My praise is the shout that brings Jericho down. And long as I'm breathing, I got a reason to praise the Lord, oh my soul. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. I won't be quiet, my God is alive. How could I keep it?
Without light, till from heaven you came running. stone was moved for good, for the Lamb had come again.
Praise you, Father, that today we can know your resurrection power. Today we rejoice that Jesus is alive. Thank you, Jesus.
Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the sepulchre where Jesus was buried. There was an earthquake, for an angel from heaven had rolled back the great stone at the door of the tomb and then sat on it. His raiment was as white as snow, and the soldiers guarding the tomb trembled and froze. The angel said to the women, "I know you seek Jesus, but he's not here. He is risen." During the next 40 days, Jesus was seen by his disciples and many others. Several witnesses later then saw Jesus taken up to heaven in a cloud from Mark's table. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Amen.
Dear Lord, you are Alpha and Omega. You were there at the beginning, and you'll be there for us, with us till the end. Dear Lord, thank you for coming to earth. Thank you for dying for our sins. Thank you for suffering on that cross. We just thank you every day, and we know you will be with us till the end. Amen.
Father, we thank you that you didn't leave Jesus on the cross. We thank you so much that he came, he died for our sins, and we have new life now in him. And Father, we just thank you, Lord, that you raised him from the dead on that third day. You raised him to life. And Father, it's the life that gives life to us. And Father, we just thank you so much that we have your spirit within us. We just bless you and praise you, Lord. Amen.
For these wonderful songs that you bring to me, Lord, amen, in my times at home. And I just have been absolutely consumed, Lord, by this particular song. I don't know if you know it, but I'm just going to say it because I feel it needs to be shared. But it encapsulates everything that you've done, and it's just so encouraging, Father. What gift of grace is Jesus, my Redeemer? There is no more for heaven now to give. He is my joy, my righteousness and freedom, my steadfast love, my deep and boundless peace. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus, for my life is wholly bound to his. Oh, how strange and divine, I can sing, all is mine, yet not I, but through Christ in me. The night is dark, but I'm not forsaken, for by my side the Saviour, he will stay. I labour on in weakness and rejoicing, for in my need his power is displayed. To this I hold, my shepherd will defend me, though through the deepest valley he will lead. Oh, the night has been won and I shall overcome, yet not I, but through Christ in me. No fate I dread, I know I am forgiven. The future sure, the price it has been paid. For Jesus bled and suffered for my pardon, and he was raised to overthrow the grave. To this I hold, my sin has been defeated. Jesus now and ever is my plea. Oh, the chains are released, I can sing, I am free. Yet not I, but through Christ in me. With every breath I long to follow Jesus, for he has said that he will bring me home. And day by day, I know he will renew me until I stand with joy before the throne. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus. All the glory evermore to him. When my race is complete, still my lips shall repeat, yet not I, but through Christ in me. Hallelujah, Jesus, hallelujah. Thank you for everything you've done. It's just so much, so much, and we have nothing to do about it but give you our hearts, Lord. That's it. That's all you want is us. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Thank you.
Amen. We now have, please be seated. We're now moving to a drama for you.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, God created man in his likeness. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them, forming them from the dust of the ground and breathing into their nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living being, made perfect to enjoy God forever. But man rebelled against God, breaking his one command, rejecting his offer of free love. When Adam sinned, sin entered the entire human race. When Adam sinned, his sin spread death throughout the world. When Adam sinned, everything began to grow old and die.
For we have all sinned. We have all gone astray. We have all rejected God.
And are cut off from him and from each other. Nations at war. families divided. Black and white, rich world and poor world. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. But God so loved the world that he gave his only son, Jesus, who made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being made in human likeness.
The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the suffering, good news to the afflicted. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. He has sent me to open the eyes of the blind and to preach good news to the poor.
But we despised and rejected him. Peter said,
"I tell you, I don't know anything about it."
A man of sorrows, acquainted with the bitterest grief, Peter swore to them,
"I say again, I don't even know the man."
For it was our grief that he bore.
It was our sorrows that brought him down.
He was wounded and bruised for our sins.
He was lashed and we were healed.
They wove a crown of thorns and thrust it on his head, mocking him.
Hail, King of the Jews!
He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before her shearers is dumb. So he stood silent before the ones condemning him. From prison and trial, they led him away to his death. They came to Golgotha, and there they crucified him.
Forgive them, Father.
Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads.
He saved others, yet he can't save himself.
Come on, then. Come down from the cross, then we'll believe in you.
He said, "I am the Son of God." Well, let God rescue him now.
He called himself the King of the Jews.
But who among the people of that day realized it was their sins he was dying for, that he was suffering their punishment?
My God, why have you forsaken me? I am poured out like water. My tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth and they cast lots for my clothing. Oh my God, why have you forsaken me?
Jesus cried out again in a loud voice,
"It is finished!"
And died. And the temple curtain was torn in two from top to bottom. Jesus was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people. we may now enter the very presence of God because of the blood of Jesus shed for us. This is the life-giving way opened to us by Christ, whose body was broken and torn apart for our forgiveness, our healing, and on the third day rose again for our reconciliation with God.
Peace be with you. I am the way, the truth, and the life.
Thank you to Jenny and the team. It's a powerful, powerful piece of drama. Thank you. Bless you for that. Can we take up the offering, please? Thank you. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you gave up your life for us to pay the debt of sin that we could never pay. And Lord, these gifts that we give can never pay you back for the infinite gift of forgiveness at the cross. But Lord, we give these gifts not that we could ever repay the debt we owe you of sin, but Lord, as a response of gratitude, of thankfulness for all that you have given to us. Lord, take and bless these gifts that others in the world and in the local community and in our nation might come closer to knowing Jesus, for it's in his name we ask it. And now, Lord, as the children and young people go out to their classes, we ask that you would bless them and teach them, anoint their leaders, Lord, with your spirit, and Lord, may your risen presence be with them now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So it's time for our young people to leave us. Luca is now going to come and bring our second reading from John 20. Thank you, Luca.
But Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it that you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that she had said these things to her.
Got another song now. See What a Morning. Let's stand and sing.
See you.
Seated. We come now to a time of open prayer. We remember that the God's power, the Holy Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead, the power of God is at work, Paul says, in us, Romans 8, 11. And God's power works through prayer. And so we're going to come to a time of open prayer. Paul will come to you with the microphone so you can be heard here and on Zoom. If you're on Zoom and you want to pray, please just unmute and pray. Let's bring the needs of those in the fellowship, those who are going through grief, those who are recovering from operations. Let's remember the worldwide church today who, for whom Easter is a particularly difficult time because of persecution and oppression. Let's remember our nation too. So as the Spirit leads you, please pray out loud and the microphone will come to you.
Oh, Father God, we've been singing about love and triumph.
Mm.
And yet, Lord, our world is in such a mess.
Mm. Yeah.
Father God, I just think particularly this morning of the Holy Land.
Yes.
Father, I think of those people who are starving, those children who've lost their parents, or all those who are bereaved and suffering. Oh, Father God, we just cry out in anguish. Father, we would pray for peace.
Mm.
Lord, we dare to hope that somehow, through your Spirit, that you will just intervene.
Yes.
And Father, that those children will be fed and that peace will be restored to that land because it's your holy land, Lord.
Yes.
And Father, we just pray this morning for peace.
Yeah.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Yes, Lord.
Dear Lord, I just want to pray for my elder sister, Wendy, who unfortunately the cancer she has now spread to her brain and she's having a lot of symptoms. Just for symptom control for her and also just peace for her and her husband. And most of all, that she comes to know you, dear Lord. Amen.
Country that are as they are, they wouldn't usually be how they are, affected by different things where I take it their money has been affected. There's an undercurrent of anger for these people, you know, and they've been in it, I would expect, a long time. You know, they're acting, a lot of them, I would say, how they would not normally be if it wasn't for the these affectations. And I pray that for the Lord to have tolerance and for us to have tolerance of these people.
Yeah.
Also, while I'm here, I'll thank the God, the Lord Jesus, and pray for the recovery of Peter and his motivation in his physiotherapy, what he has to do to regain, hopefully, mobility.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Yeah, Lord, we pray for all those recovering from operations, thinking of particularly of Peter, of Brenda, of Leslie and others. Lord, we just ask that together with the natural processes of fusion of joints, new joints with bone, Lord, that your supernatural healing work would be restoring them, Lord, increasing their mobility and reducing their pain. Lord, today we also pray for those who are journeying through grief. Lord, we ask, Holy Spirit, you are the comforter, the counselor. Draw alongside, Lord, these folk who, for whom today, Lord, there are mixed emotions. Yes, there's the joy of Easter, Lord, but also the sadness of the loss of loved ones. So, Lord, draw alongside, comfort, give peace, Lord, just as you did on that first Easter Sunday. I pray that your risen presence, Lord, would comfort and give hope in Jesus' name. Amen.
The amazing power of the Lord who can create planets. There's one definite thing: if there's life on Mars, he put it there. What a wonderful Lord. You know, how would it be if we didn't have him? Terrible. Yes. So thank you Lord, for just basically the fact of you.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Lord, I just lift up to you the ongoing situation in Ukraine. Lord, we just pray that you would bring peace to that land in Jesus' name.
I just
pray that you would put measures in place that the war would come to a stop in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
We just pray that there would be no more loss of life, Lord, and pray for all of the Christians in those areas on both sides, Lord, that you would encourage them, that you build their faith, Lord, that there are already so many, many miracles happening that we don't see on the TV, but we know that you are working, and we just ask you, Lord, to continue working and to continue encouraging believers to pray and to do what you're calling them to do. We just pray that there will be an end to the war in Jesus' name, and that you bring peace on every side. And if there's anyone that needs to be moved out of a position of power, Lord, we just pray that you would move out the wrong people and you'd put the right people in place, Lord. You'd put the right people in power who have actually got a heart of love and no other malicious intentions. We just pray, Lord, that you would have your way in that area in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
Jesus, we thank you that you are our Redeemer.
That
you have redeemed us.
Yes.
That you have set us free.
Yeah.
We thank you that you bring hope where there is hopelessness and despair.
Yeah.
That you bring renewal that you bring restoration.
Thank you.
That you bring new life.
Yeah.
Help us to just look to the cross,
mm.
to look to you
yeah.
when we are feeling overwhelmed.
Yes, Lord.
To look to you when the world presses in and yes. crushes us.
Yeah.
To look to you for the answers.
Yes.
We thank you for the wonder of your Holy Spirit, for
Amen.
His comforting, consoling presence.
Yeah.
We thank you that you do not leave us alone.
Yeah.
That even though you were no longer on the earth and the disciples were so overwhelmed, you came and comforted them.
Mm.
And we too can look to you and bring to you every burden that is on our hearts and know that you are listening, that you hear, and that you meet us in our time of need. Thank you, Jesus, for being our Savior yeah. and Redeemer. Amen.
Amen. Lord, as we look at your word together now, we ask that you'd open our eyes, our hearts, to see and understand Jesus in his risen glory. Amen. I'm going to read a few verses from Romans 3. It's not going to come on the screen, so just listen up. Romans chapter 3. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. And Romans 4. 25. He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. So I want to speak to you today about why we need Good Friday and Easter Sunday. The powerful drama that we saw was based on the events of Good Friday. And today, as you know, is Easter Sunday. But we need both the cross and the resurrection if we're to be what the Bible calls justified. Justified is simply means it's just as if I'd never sinned. When someone trusts in Jesus, he takes away their sin, and it's just as if they'd never sinned. They are declared righteous in God's sight. And we need this forgiveness because the Bible says, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And only Jesus, God's Son, could deal with the problem of sin. But what is sin? I don't take anything for granted these days, even in church, as to what people understand by religious terms. I think in our culture today, there is very little understanding of some of these terms, and sin is one of them. So what is sin? Well, most people in our world recognize wrongdoing when they see it, don't they? We recognize someone like Putin is obviously evil. We recognize the injustice of those who oppress others through slavery or trafficking. We recognize the wrongdoing of an abusive boss or partner or parent, and we cry out rightly for justice and punishment in these cases. But if you ask the average person on the street how they see themselves, typically the data comes back as follows. People will typically say, I know that I'm not perfect, but I know that there are people who are evil in the world. In other words, most people these days in our culture see themselves as basically pretty good people with struggles and some dysfunction, but it's others over there who are clearly evil and wrongdoers. In other words, therapy and other factors have taken over the concept of sin. Nothing against therapy, it's very helpful. But we have a culture that is obsessed with therapeutic solutions for people's problems. We have a culture that is obsessed with the idea that it's my genes, it's my upbringing, it's my
poor start or environment in life that has resulted in me being this way. And all I have to do is to kind of get free of these factors outside of my control, and I can be the best person that I can be. But the idea that we are all sinners, that we all fall short of a God, is not a popular concept in our culture today. Have you noticed? The Bible says, compared to a holy and perfect and sinless God, we fall short. Simple illustration. Imagine the worst person in the world is at the level of the skirting board down here. Okay? Imagine that you might put yourself somewhere, I don't know, third of the way up the wall, half the way up the wall, or if you're feeling it's a good day, three quarters of the way up the wall. Well, what's the standard? What's the standard of God's holiness? Is it the ceiling? The standard of God's holiness is the sky. We can never reach the perfection of God's holiness. Just one small sin, one lie, one piece of gossip is enough to cause us to fall short. It doesn't matter whether our sins are big or small. We all fall short of God's perfection. So sin is not loving God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our strength, and not loving our neighbor as ourselves. There is not one person who is born into this world who loves God with all their heart, all their soul, all their mind, all their strength, and who loves their neighbor as themselves. Not one person. Anybody want to say they love God with everything they are and have? No, there's not one of us who loves God perfectly. Not one of us. We all fall short. We need somebody outside of ourselves to deal with the problem of sin, because we cannot relate to God in his holiness. He cannot be in the presence of even the tiniest sin. We cannot relate to God. We cannot be friends with him because he is perfect in his holiness. Jesus is the one man, God in the flesh, fully human and fully God, who kept God's law and commands perfectly. He is the only human who's ever lived, who's lived a perfect life. He's the only one qualified to deal with the problem of our sin and to bring us back into a relationship with God that, by the way, we were created for. You were created for a relationship with God as your loving Father. You will feel emptiness without that. You will feel like you're chasing after the wind. Doesn't matter how many shopping bags you have in your hand, how much property or land you've got, how much comfort you've got in this life or possessions, without God and a friendship with him, you will feel somehow that you're missing out, that there's a hole, an emptiness in your life. Because you were made to have a relationship, a friendship with God. And you will feel restless and empty until you have that. And Jesus, God's Son, came into the world to restore the broken relationship between us and God. He's the only one who can fix the problem of sin. And he did it by dying to pay the debt of our sin, which is death. Let me illustrate with this little alpha clip.
On the 31st of July, 1941, sirens rang out from cell block 14 in Auschwitz concentration camp. A prisoner had escaped. And as a reprisal, the Gestapo selected 10 men arbitrarily to die in a starvation bunker. The ninth man selected was a man called Francis Guy of Niczek. And when he was selected, Francis Guy of Niczek cried out, he said, oh, he said, my poor wife and my children, they will never see me again. At that moment, a small man with wire-framed glasses took off his cap and he walked forward and he said, I'm a Catholic priest. He said, I don't have a wife and children. I want to die instead of that man. And to everyone's amazement, his offer was accepted. The name of that man was Maximilian Kolbe, 47 years old. And he was taken with the other nine to the starvation bunker. Amazing guy. He got them praying, singing hymns. Apparently the atmosphere in there felt like a church in there. Eventually, they needed the starvation bunker for other people. And so on the 14th of August, 1941, he was given a lethal injection of carbolic acid. 41 years later, on the 10th of October, 1982, the death of Maximilian Kolbe was put in its proper perspective. There in St. Peter's Square, Rome, in a crowd of 150,000 people, with 26 cardinals, 300 bishops and archbishops, was Francis Guy of Nieczek. And the Pope described the death of Maximilian Kolbe on that occasion in these terms. He said it was a victory like that won by our Lord Jesus Christ. Because Maximilian Kolbe had died for someone else instead of someone else. That someone else was Francis Guy of Nieczek. I happened to see his obituary in the Independent newspaper. He died at the age of 93. And he had spent the rest of his life going around the world telling people what Maximilian Kolbe had done for him, because he had died in his place. And in an even more remarkable way, Jesus died instead of you.
Jesus died instead of us. He died for our justification. Jesus took the penalty of sin on himself, in my place, in your place, so that we could be justified, so that God would declare over us, it's just as if we'd never sinned. That's what it means to be justified. It's just as if I'd never sinned. This diagram explains it as well. I don't know if you can see that from there, but justification means that our guilt was credited to Jesus on the cross, the red arrow from right to left. Our sin was placed on Jesus on the cross. Our guilt was placed on him. And Christ's righteousness was credited back to us. In other words, Jesus got what we deserve, our sin, so that we might get what we don't deserve, forgiveness and righteousness. That's what justification means. But there's something we need to do. If we're to be justified, there is a response we need to make. Here's a blank check. This is God's blank check to each one of us. This is his payment, potentially, for the debt of our sin. We can never pay the debt of our sin, but God has offered to pay the debt of our sin through Jesus. But there's something we need to do. We need to write our name on the top line of that check. Now, forgive my writing. That's my writing, by the way, in case you're wondering. And not a child's, but I had an off day. But on the top line, I've written, it says, pay to the order of Martin the sum of the debt of my sin. To have our debt of sin paid by God, we need to confess to God in prayer that we need forgiveness. That without God's forgiveness, we can't have a friendship, a relationship with him. And if we'll pray to God and say, please forgive me, please have mercy on me. And if we ask Jesus to come into our life, he will come into our life by the Holy Spirit, and he will give us power to live a brand new life, a resurrection life, a life of joy and peace and forgiveness following Jesus. Some of you may know a Christian and you've been thinking, why do they seem to have something? Why do they seem to be happy? Why have they found joy even when life is tough for them? Why do they seem to be more content, more fulfilled? Why do they seem to be just happier than I am? The answer is because they have had their sin forgiven, Because they now have a relationship with God through Jesus, because they prayed a prayer, they recognize that they need forgiveness, and they've invited Jesus into their heart to be their Lord and King. And you know what? It's the most wonderful prayer that you can ever pray, because you find the reason that you're alive on this planet to have a relationship with God through Jesus. You can have peace. You can have joy, you can have forgiveness, you can have purpose, you can have meaning, and you can know that after this life, you will go to be with God in eternity. That's a gift worth having, isn't it? That's a check worth putting your name onto, isn't it? Maybe you're here today because someone invited you. Maybe you're here today because the Holy Spirit, in some mysterious way, caused you to want to come to church. I'm going to say this. I believe that you're here today because this is the day that Jesus wants to draw you to himself. He's knocking on the door of your heart today, and he's asking you to open the door and let him in. That's why you're here today. This is the moment. This is your moment. You're not just here randomly and out of chance. You're here because God wants you to be his friend. He wants you to know that you're loved, that you're accepted, you're forgiven, you're welcome. And he wants you to know the greatest gift of knowing him as your friend. And if that's you right now, I'm going to pray a prayer really slowly, and I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer after me. You can do that out loud, or you can do it in the quietness of your own heart, but I'll go slowly, phrase by phrase. If Jesus is knocking on the door of your heart this morning, which I believe he is with some of you, you're here because he's called you to be here. Unashamedly, I'm asking you to invite Jesus into your heart, to confess your sin, to receive forgiveness, and to become a Christian, and to know the new life of God today. So say after me, either out loud or in the quietness of your own heart, Lord Jesus Christ, I am sorry for the things I've done wrong in my life. Take a few moments to confess some of the things you've done wrong to God. Lord, please forgive me. I now turn from everything which I know is wrong. Thank you, Jesus, that you died on the cross for me, so that I could be forgiven and set free. Thank you that you offer me forgiveness and the gift of your Spirit. Please fill me with your Holy Spirit now. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. If you prayed that prayer just then, tell somebody next to you. I don't mind if you mumble it while during my sermon. I'm just going to speak for a couple more minutes. But if you prayed that prayer for the first time, or you've renewed your faith today because you drifted away, I want you to just tell somebody next to you that you've just become a Christian, and come and find me, come and talk to somebody, find a Christian in the room, there's plenty of them, tell them that you've become a Christian today, because we want to celebrate with you. I'm going to speak now to those who've already accepted Christ and are Christians, but I want to talk to you about justification, the proof of our justification now. There's even better news for us as Christians. Jesus rose from the grave, and the empty grave is the evidence, the sureness that we are justified, that our sin has been dealt with and paid once and for all. The Bible says this, Romans 4:24. He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. How does that work? Very simple. Here it is. The debt of sin is death. Jesus rose from the death, right? The bill the debt of sin, which is death, has been fully paid and demonstrated because Jesus rose from the grave. It's that simple. Let me illustrate. You go for a meal in a restaurant and you're presented with a bill for the meal. You've got a choice. You can either do loads of washing up to pay for it. You can do a runner, which you wouldn't do, I know. Or you can pay the debt for the food that you've eaten. The proof of paying the bill is the receipt you get at the end of the meal. In the same way, when Jesus rose from death, this was God's proof of payment that sin had been defeated through the resurrection. I don't know if you can see this receipt, but it says Jesus paid it all at the top. Sin paid, shame paid, pain paid, past mistakes paid, rejection and loneliness paid, slavery to sin paid, spiritual death paid, amount due zero. There is no debt against your name if you're a Christian. Jesus died once and for all to pay the debt of your sin. The amount owed by you is zero because of Jesus. Every time we see the empty cross and the empty tomb, that is the receipt of God's payment of sin. Death has been overcome. It's been fully paid for. No more. There is now no longer any condemnation, any guilt for those who are in Christ. Because he's given us a receipt. The receipt says zero. It's been fully paid. Why then, as Christians, do we struggle with unworthiness? Why do we, as Christians, compare ourselves to others and feel that we fall short? Why do we feel, as Christians, that we've got to somehow earn our way back into God's good books? Why do we struggle to believe other people are forgiven and accepted and welcomed, but little old me, I'm a bit of a failure? Folks, it's not about us and our performance. It's about the perfect performance of Jesus, who paid it all when he died on the cross. There is no condemnation against your name if you believe in Jesus. There is no unworthiness against your name if you believe in Jesus. You don't fall short because you believe in Jesus. Jesus makes up the difference and he raises you up with him. He fills the gap between us and God's holiness perfectly. It is not about what we do and how we perform. It's about how Christ has already died, already been raised from the dead, and that we're already forgiven, we're already welcomed, even if we failed, even if we let him down, even if we make mistakes. Jesus has paid for the past, the present, and the future.
Amen.
Amen. The debt has been paid. God has given us the receipt. The tomb is empty. The cross is empty. We have the receipt of God's payment. Jesus has paid it all. There is no guilt, no condemnation, no shame, no unworthiness. If you're in Christ, you are a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. The past has been dealt with once and for all. You see, the problem is when we feel unworthy or we're not matching up, we're really saying there, aren't we, that the cross was not enough. But Jesus only had to die once and for all. His perfect sacrifice was enough to deal with our sin once and for all. We don't want to be asking Jesus to crucify himself again, do we? His death and resurrection were enough. Jesus is enough. And he set us free from the power of sin. He set us free from guilt and shame. And he's brought us into his glorious and wonderful freedom by the power of the Holy Spirit. So, if you're a person this morning who's struggling with shame and guilt or unworthiness or performance, if you're a person who's always comparing yourself to others and feeling you fall short, why don't you pray with somebody that you would know afresh the justification of God proved in the empty tomb? Take that receipt of payment from Jesus again and revel in it, enjoy it. Know that you are forgiven. Know that you are justified, and revel and delight in it. That's what God wants for you. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you that the price of sin, which is death, has been fully paid, proved by the resurrection. And I pray, Lord, for all those struggling with comparison or performance this morning, all those weighed down with guilt or shame for past mistakes or a sense of general unworthiness. Lord, it's not about us. Jesus, thank you that it's all about what you've done in your perfect sacrifice and resurrection to set us free, that we are all declared not guilty in you. We are all justified in you. We are all children of God in you. Thank you, Jesus. Help us to receive that and delight in it and celebrate it. In Jesus' name, amen. So, before we sing our final hymn, can I just say this? If you became a Christian this morning, I'd love it if you you can come up during the final hymn, or you can come up after this final hymn at the end. But I'd just love to pray with you. And there's other prayer team members here who'd love to pray with you and seal the prayer that you've prayed. If you want prayer for any of the things that I've mentioned this morning, for performance or comparison or guilt or unworthiness, why don't you come forward during this last hymn or at the end and receive prayer from the prayer team. But if you became a Christian this morning, I'd just love to hear from you. That would be amazing. So why don't you come up while we're singing, and come up with a friend, somebody you came with, and just come and tell us that you've done that. Let's stand and sing. you, Jesus. If you want prayer, remain in here. If you want to come and tell me or someone that you've become a Christian, stay in here. If you want a tea or coffee, go through to the room next door, the lounge there. You can go that way or around the back. It's been great having you here today. Thank you for coming. Let me bless us. The blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with us and remain with us always. Amen.
Amen. Amen.